from the lion's head, you prove his worth. Impossible. Nobody can jump this.
Indy! Indy, you must hurry! Come quickly!
John Williams, Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones. Beautiful, isn't it great? Well, this morning, only with a leap from the lion's head will he prove his worth. Only a leap of faith. We've been in this series called Only the last few weeks, and we get to continue in that this week. In fact, it's the last week that we'll be considering these five statements that we started to consider, these five statements that are about the life that Jesus has invited us to. And so this morning, here on the south side, there on the north side as well, we have an opportunity to consider the invitation that Jesus has given us and to take some leaps of faith. In fact, I'm going to give us opportunity at the end of our time. If you've never come to that place of living by faith in Jesus, that you can make that step, take that step today. But this series only, five statements about that life that Jesus invites us to. You and I were meant to live only to the glory of God. That's what he invites us to. And we're saved, we're rescued out of an old way of life, we're brought into new life with Christ so that we can live that life with him only by grace. We do that as we follow and recognize and acknowledge only Jesus as Lord. And then last week, we talked about only the Bible. You remember the level? Some of you that were here last week, and I held up that level, I held up that plumb line, and we talked about the Bible is the inspired Word of God because it reveals the one who reveals the one who holds the level and holds the plumb line. That God's Word reveals the God who has breathed in those words and inspired them. And then this weekend, I want us to consider that the only way to live in the life that Jesus invites you and I to step into with him is to do that by faith. Jesus has saved us, redeemed us, and sets us free by faith. There's a statement that Paul makes in the New Testament. You have in your bulletins this morning, and the verses will also be on the screen. I just want you to see real quick this one short little verse from Paul's letter to the Romans. It says, there's only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith. Only a leap from the lion's head, said Indiana Jones. God makes people right with himself by faith. And so to respond to the invitation that Jesus gives to each of us. We do that by faith. I want us to consider then what faith is and then what faith does. That's what I want us to think about this morning. What faith is and what faith does. And I'd like to pray for us as we jump into that. Would you let me pray for you? Well, God, I thank you that you are an inviting God. You are a God who is perfect in righteousness and perfect in holiness and perfect in love. And it is because of that that you do not hold us at a distance. You do not shun us, but you beckon us. You invite us. You invite us, even as Scripture says, to come not fearfully but boldly to your throne of grace to receive mercy and help in our times of need. And so, God, I pray that you embolden us this morning as we consider your word. Embolden us to live life with you, Almighty God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is faith? On June 30th, 1859, Charles Blondin became the first person to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And he did this with a rope that was stretched 1,100 feet. I was about to say miles, but 1,100 feet. 160 feet off the surface of the water, and this rope, this is 1859, the rope sagged a total of 60 feet in the middle. Can you imagine this? And he did it. He crossed over. In fact, over the next few days, Charles Blondin crossed back and forth over that rope as growing crowds came to witness this feat. And then he had to make things more interesting. So he started crossing, but he started carrying things across. So he carried a chair across first, and then that wasn't enough, so he carried a stove across. And then at one point, he filled a wheelbarrow with cement, and he got ready to push that across the tightrope. And as the story goes, before he did, he shouted down to the crowd below, "Do you believe I can do this?" And they said, "Yes, we believe." And he did. He pushed that thing across. And in a moment of enthusiasm and arrogance at the other side, he said, "Do you believe I could push this back across with someone sitting in it?" And they said, "Yes, we believe." And he said, "You, sir, would you get into my wheelbarrow? Do you believe that if you get in that I could push you across?" And he said, "Yes, I believe." And he said, "Get into my wheelbarrow." And the man said, "No, thank you." In fact, Charles Blondin could find no one who was willing to get into his wheelbarrow. They believed he could do it, but they didn't trust him to do it. Faith is more than belief. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to look more at the book of Hebrews later. But I want you to see this little definition of what faith is. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we can't see. The crowds had seen the acrobat cross the rope. They had seen him cross it with the wheelbarrow. They believed he could do that, but there was no faith that if anyone got into that wheelbarrow, they'd be okay, they'd survive. Because faith is more than belief. Paul makes another statement about faith in another book in the Bible, in a letter to the Romans. Paul says in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed. The good news of Jesus Christ shows us how good and how perfect and how right God is. And it is a rightness, a righteousness that he shares with us, Paul says, by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. He's quoting someone there. Paul's quoting a statement made in the Old Testament by a guy named Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, depending on how you want to say his name. And this guy was an Old Testament prophet who spoke words from God. And at one point, Habakkuk speaks these words. He says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves. And their lives are crooked. They're bent. They're out of shape. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Faith is more than belief. Faith lives. Jesus invites us to life with him. We got to get in the wheelbarrow. The Hebrew language is an extremely visual language. Hebrew words are words that paint pictures. And the picture behind the word that we translate faith or faithfulness is a picture of a firm and steady surface that we could stand on confidently. It also paints the picture of hands that hold something steady, hands that can be trusted. This is the picture of faith used by Habakkuk and then picked up by Paul. People are going to trust, you and I are going to trust a lot of things in life. But the righteous, those who receive the righteousness of Christ, those who live life with Christ, will live by faith. They will live trusting the steady hands of God to carry them through. It isn't what you and I do that gains God's invitation to that life. It isn't self-righteousness that gets us there or following a religious law. It isn't by being spiritual, but those who are made right with God, who respond to Jesus' invitation, do so by faith. We trust our lives to the care of his steady hands. I was swimming this past week with two of my kids, my 5-year-old son and 3-year-old daughter. The 3-year-old, Mary Elena, can't swim yet, and so her favorite activity at the pool is to jump to me. And she jumps, and then she gets out, and then she jumps again, and she gets out, and she wants to repeat this over and over again until I tell her I need a break. And at one point, we were in the midst of this routine, and I looked away for a minute to check on my son, who was swimming across the pool. And when I looked away, Mary Elena jumped and plunged under the water. Now, I was right there and scooped her right up, and she was fine, but she was not happy with me because I did not catch her. Oh, but God's hands are steady, and they are forever ready to catch us and to carry us when we jump by faith. Mary Elena isn't, when she's not jumping to me, I have to hold her on the surface of the water. That's the only way she can swim or get around in that pool, is if I hold her. And that's what faith is like, trusting God to not only catch us, but to carry us. In fact, as much as I love Indiana Jones, that scene really falls short of a picture of what faith in Jesus is like. Because responding to Jesus by faith is not to jump blindly into a chasm, but it is to jump to someone. And it is to be caught by God. And it is not to jump once, but it is to leap in faith over and over and over and over again, trusting that He catches us and He carries us. That's why faith is more than believing that the acrobat can make it across. Faith gets into the wheelbarrow for the ride. Faith steps out. Faith lives. Faith responds to the invitation. There's another letter in the Bible written by a guy named James, and he tells us more about this faith that lives. In fact, the way that James explains it has shaken people up over the years. People whose faith in Jesus has become stagnant. His words stir us, and I want you to be stirred by James's words this morning. He says, "You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror." How foolish. Can't you see that faith without action or good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete, because Abraham didn't just believe the way that crowd believed the acrobat. Abraham was willing to get in and go for a ride. Faith is more than belief. The righteous, those who experience and receive the righteousness of Christ, will live in that righteousness by faith. Faith responds to the invitation. Faith moves with God. It's active. It says, "Let's go." There's a book in the New Testament called Hebrews. I mentioned earlier, we saw that definition in it. And the book of Hebrews was written for one purpose, and that was to keep those who believed in Jesus moving by faith. The whole letter is concerned with that. It's concerned with people who heard the good news of Jesus, responded with faith, but then turned back to some old ways of living. You ever been there before? In this book of Hebrews says, no, 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 keep going. Keep going. It's concerned with those who respond in faith, but then who live as though it doesn't matter. And it's possible for you and I to believe in Jesus and live like it doesn't matter. And God's invitation to us is to come and live with Him. The writer of the book of Hebrews is saying, you heard and you believed, now live and respond by faith and don't turn back. That's the context of Hebrews chapter 11 that starts to give us examples of what living by faith looks like. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 is sometimes called the faith chapter. And I wish I had time to read the whole thing to you this morning, but if I did, we'd all fall asleep. And so I want you this week, go home and read Hebrews chapter 11. Read it more than once and let it build up your faith. Let it encourage you. I want to read just a little bit from it to give you an example of what this living by faith looks like. Hebrews 11, chapter 8 is where we'll begin. And he goes back to talk about Abraham again. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. I love this statement. He went without knowing where he was going. That's described me to a T before. And even when he reached the land God promised him, Abraham lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did his son Isaac, his grandson Jacob. They lived by faith in the same promise that God had given them. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah, Abraham's wife, was able to have a child, even though she was barren and too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there's no way to count them. That's exactly what God promised. All these people died still believing all that God had promised them. They did not receive all that he had promised, but they saw it all from a distance and they welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. And then he's going to sum up. We're jumping down to verse 11. Sum up an example, examples of living by faith. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised. And they shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back from the dead, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. I love this statement. They were too good for this world. Wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground, all these people earned a good reputation. That is, they got a good story because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for who? Us. So that they would not reach perfection. They wouldn't get to the end of the story without us. God has revealed himself and his love to us through Jesus Christ. And he invites us to relationship with him, to be forgiven, to be made new in life with him. He's promised the presence and power of his Spirit to be with us and to help us. And I don't want to just believe that. I want that to be my story. I want to live that. I want to experience that. I want to live by faith. I want to seek and discover how to live by faith as a man, as a husband, as a father, that my kids would say, my father earned a good reputation, a good story by his faith. I want to seek and discover what it means to live by faith as a neighbor and as a coworker and as a friend. I want to live a story of faith that shapes how I manage my life, how I leave a legacy behind when I'm gone. I don't just want to believe in Jesus. I want to live by faith with Jesus. That's his invitation to us. Let's go with him. By faith. So how do we do that? How do you and I live by faith? I want to suggest just three actions. Pastors love threes, and they all start with R. But I want to suggest three actions that we can take to live by faith. Three ways that we can respond to Jesus' invitation by faith. The first is this: faith remembers. Faith remembers. Where were you when you first realized your need for Jesus? Who were you when God first revealed his perfect love to you? This past week, I sat in my office with a man, and part of the time we spent together was just telling stories back and forth of experiences that we've had that have built up our faith. We were remembering. Faith remembers. At the first of this year, I invited us all together as a church family to reach a goal of helping 300 people respond to the message of Jesus Christ with faith. And some of you have participated in various things. Some of you just on your own are talking to people about Jesus. And we're spreading the gospel and people are responding, so that as of this morning, I know of 217 people who this year have responded to the gospel by faith in our church community. We've helped 217 people come to faith in Jesus so far. The most recent responses to the gospel through our church were 29 kids in our summer camp this past month. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Our kids' church team of staff and volunteers do an amazing job of presenting the gospel and inviting people, inviting those kids to trust Jesus. And those kids who heard about Jesus this summer, and those kids who put their faith in Him, they have made a memory that will be a building block for the rest of their lives. They will be able to remember what happened in 2015 when they first heard the message of Jesus and responded by faith. What do you remember that strengthens your faith? Maybe you weren't a child when you first believed. Maybe that happened later in your life that you heard Jesus and responded. Maybe it's been countless times since then that you have seen the grace of God at work in your life. Maybe you have seen God do things that you never thought He would do. Maybe you have experienced God carrying you through things and you only noticed what He was doing in hindsight. But what do you remember that builds up your faith? You might even take a minute and just write down in your bulletin a word or two that describes an experience that you want to remember. For some of you, you might not have many, or you might not have any memories of life with Jesus. And maybe even this morning is becoming a memory as you consider settling your faith in Him. What do you remember? Make a note of that. My grandmother is 94 years old, and she, up until 2 months ago, lived on her own. We used to say that she had bulldog tenacity. She was a tough lady. But then 2 months ago, she just nosedived into dementia. More rapid than I have ever seen it come on someone. So that she's now in a hospital. I got to visit her along with my parents this summer. My grandmother was raised in a Christian home. Her parents and her grandparents were very active in their old Methodist churches. But in her teen years, my grandmother rebelled against that tradition she was raised in. And then during World War II, to her parents' protest, she married a Roman Catholic. And she converted to Catholicism and has spent the last 70 years of her life a Catholic. Now she's in this hospital, and she most days doesn't remember our names, sometimes doesn't even remember her own name. But my parents have been in the room with her when she didn't know that they were there. And they have watched her lay in that bed with her hands raised up, praying and praising and calling on the name of Jesus. My dad jokes and says, I think she's Methodist again. She doesn't remember much, but she remembers that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Faith remembers. What do you remember to help you live by faith? Second action that we can take to respond to Jesus by faith is this: faith rejects. Faith rejects some things. Saying yes to one thing is saying no to other things. So that living by faith results in distinct choices, in a distinct way of life. To live by faith is to choose not to live according to our own desires. It's a choice to reject some things. To live by faith is to leave some things behind. What have you left behind in order to live by faith? Think about that. When I'm at the pool with Mary Elena and she jumps into my arms, she leaves the ground behind. What do you need to leave behind to respond to Jesus by faith? When we come to faith in Jesus, we come with all kinds of ideas and beliefs and thoughts and identities that others have given to us or that we've placed upon ourselves. And some of those things have to be left behind. We might believe some lies about ourselves that Scripture needs to correct. Living by faith, as Scripture says, brings our thoughts captive so that we can test them with the word of truth in the Bible. To have faith in God's love requires that you and I leave behind the idea that we are unlovable. To have faith in God's purposes requires that you and I leave behind the idea that we are worthless. To have faith that you have been welcomed into the family of God by God's grace requires that you stop believing that you're all alone. To have faith that Jesus rose from the dead eventually leads to believing that He is Lord of all. To have faith that you are forgiven requires that eventually you forgive yourself and you leave behind some bitterness towards others. To have faith in Christ's righteousness rejects self-righteousness. Faith rejects some things that need to be left behind. Take a minute and consider, what do you need to reject as you live by faith? Is it fear? Is it disappointment? Is it arrogance? What do you need to stop or to leave behind in order to respond to Jesus by faith? A friend of mine came to the conversations about Jesus that we were hosting at Lucky Baldwin's this summer. Lucky Baldwin's is a pub in Pasadena, and conversations about Jesus is a casual setting where we just come together and have dinner. Anybody's welcome. And we talk about things of God and things of faith, and we talk about Jesus. And people come and they listen, and some people come with questions, and some people have even come to faith in Jesus through those conversations. A few weeks ago when I was there, a friend of mine came, and the first time he came, he told me that he was a believer, but he said, "I'm not the kind of believer that tells other people what I believe." And then a few weeks after that, that same friend of mine came and showed up with a friend of his that he had invited to the conversation about Jesus. My friend left behind some shyness. Living by faith leaves some things behind. Faith rejects. Third thing that faith does, the third action that we can take, is that faith risks. What was the last risk you took in your relationship with Jesus? What was the last risk you took towards faith in God? People who live by faith do some crazy things. We told you last week that Mark and I were going to be going down to Tijuana, and we did that this past Monday. In fact, we made a 14-hour round trip down to Tijuana, and we spent all day with Carlos and Rosie Montoya our international leaders, our missionaries down there across the border. They are doing amazing things in that city for men and women and children in the most desperate situations. One of the cool things about Carlos and Rosie is that we have been partnering with them since 1998. And so we have this long history with them. At one point, we went and visited their main recovery center, which they call the ranch. And we stood in the middle of this place while Carlos pointed around and he said, Christian Assembly built that, and you guys built that, and you built that. And we have done so much with them, and we will continue to do more. But talk about living by faith, these people, what they do with their lives. We stood at one point on the top of a new municipal dump site outside of Tijuana. And from the front of this thing, it looks very well manicured and very well managed and nice and clean, and new trees are planted. And then we drove up to the top and looked down the other side at this mountain of garbage crawling with hundreds of men and women scavenging through the garbage looking for something they can possibly repurpose or sell. At the bottom of this mountain of trash is a little village. It's a very small little village of shanties that are just built out of trash that these people live in. And this village is in severe poverty and rampant drug addiction. We saw the home of this woman who lives with her two grown daughters and six grandchildren in just this vague kind of pile of trash that is their home. There's no public services for these people. They're just barely surviving. And we stood on that trash heap as Carlos pointed to that village and he said, I call that place La Esperanza, the hope. And then he began to tell us all the things that he and Rosie and their church do to rescue these people out of poverty and out of addiction. They serve a hot breakfast every morning to these people, and they gather all their children and take them to the nearest school. They have rescued some of the kids in that village out of abandonment. Why are Carlos and Rosie and people from their church doing this? Why would they choose to go to these places and to help these people? What would possess them to look at this dump and call it La Esperanza? It seems like a waste. It seems like a hopeless cause. La Esperanza. Only by faith. Only by faith would they make those choices. Only by faith would they see and welcome hope that we would not see at first glance. I have a friend who works in a corporate setting here in LA for a secular company, and he told me that a story a while back that he was in his office at work and got a call that one of his coworkers had a stroke. And he said he got up from his desk and went to the door and just shouted out to his other co-workers about this report that he got. And then he said, if anyone wants to join me, I'm going to pray for him in my office. And he said next thing he knew, his office was filled with co-workers to pray together. Now, that may not seem like a big thing to some of you, but others of you know that in your workplace, that's a risky thing to do. Where'd he get an idea to invite his coworkers into his office to pray? Faith risks in big ways and in small ways. Faith risks. Last weekend, a young woman in our fusion community told me about her cousin who's going through a hard time and trying to figure things out about life. And they went on a hike. And at one point, she said to her cousin, "You need Jesus." And her cousin looked at her like she was crazy. And she said, I know I might sound crazy, but I want to tell you about Jesus. Faith risks. What risks do you need to take as you live by faith? Maybe there's a phone call you need to make to offer an apology or to express your love. Maybe there's a neighbor or a coworker that you've been wanting to invite to church or simply to have a conversation with about Jesus. Maybe there's a burden that God's placed on your heart that just seems unreasonable. Where'd you get an idea like that? Faith risks in Mexican garbage dumps, and faith risks in corporate workplaces, and faith risks over the phone and across the street. What risk awaits you as you respond to Jesus and live by faith? God loves us so much. So much. And He wants you to know it. And He wants you to live in that love. He wants us to trust His steady hands to carry us where we cannot go on our own. God loves broken people and lost people and confused people. And He loves people who are seeking, and He loves people who don't have all the answers, and He loves people who are sinners like you and me. And He has made a way for us all to be forgiven, to be made new, to be set free, to live life with Him, filled with His grace, standing on the level rock of His words, trusting Jesus as Lord to the glory of God. He has made a way for you and me to rest in His hands and to live by faith. That's His invitation to you and I, to jump by faith.